Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 78. I am Jeff, joined as always by...
Yep.
We got some new movies, actually, this week. Kind of dug them up. I think we found a couple, well, at least one gem, in my opinion. But we're going to start off with a movie that was just released, video on demand, and maybe some theaters? I don't know.
Yes, some theaters. Not many, I don't think, but...
We're going to start off with let Chris give his thoughts on Holidays.
So, yeah, Holidays is an anthology, a horror anthology film that each one of these shorts takes place on a holiday. And holiday is a, let's say that's a loose term here. Like, I don't necessarily consider St. Patrick's Day or... Mother's Day or Father's Day really holidays, although I guess some people do, but
it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea for a movie, I guess.
So, it kicks off on Valentine's Day.
I think it goes through the calendar year kind of chronologically, right?
Yeah. It ends on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's see, Valentine's Day. Then I think it kicks to St. Patrick's Day, then it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, and then Halloween after that. I think it might be Halloween after that.
I think so, unless there was one I forgot.
But I don't think there was anything else. And then Christmas, and then New Year's Eve. So it's a yeah. There's a few of them here. Directors on the film. Most of them don't jump out at me. The reason that I think we even kind of thought about it. Because of Kevin Smith,
yep.
Who we're fans of his, maybe not all of his work, but we are fans of his. There are some people in the cast as well. Seth Green shows up in the Christmas episode in the Christmas short. Lorenza Izzo, who
I recognize her,
she. She was in the final, the New Year's Eve one. And then I guess, not that she's famous or anything, but I guess she's famous for being Kevin Smith's daughter. Harley Quinn Smith is in his short Halloween. It starts off, though, on Valentine's Day. It does not start out on a good note at all.
No.
In fact, I would say the first three or so shorts are Easter. We forgot Easter.
Easter, I think, was – well, we'll get into it. Go ahead.
Valentine's Day kind of kicks off, and it's this short about this girl who's been bullied, and she kind of has a crush on her gym teacher, swimming coach or something. And
bad Carrie ripoff.
Yeah, yeah. And she ends up killing, the bully and giving the heart to the teacher guy. It was really weird, but not very horrific at all, and actually terribly acted.
Yeah, the acting was so the acting and directing was so bad in that one. I thought it was a really bad way to start off. What is I'll let you go ahead.
So then St. Patrick's Day.
Dear God.
Wow, that was a weird one. Actually, I it's weird. I didn't actually dislike it up until the ending. It was weird. So this teacher in Ireland, I think she was in Ireland, England. She's a teacher. She gets this note from one of her students that it's in the form of a snake, and it says that this girl never smiles or anything, and she'll smile if when the person that she's giving this to gets her best, her biggest wish or whatever. And then this lady passes out after a night of drinking, and ends up pregnant. But she ends up pregnant with a snake. It's really weird. Strange. But then the ending is just really off the walls. Dancing with a super fake looking gigantic snake. I don't know what happened there. I thought that one at least had some potential, unlike Valentine's Day, which I thought was just bad. And it just keeps going from there. I think then it's Easter, which was weird.
I thought the Easter Bunny was
creepy.
it was good makeup effects or whatever you
Yeah,
want to call it.
I actually passed out during that story, so I'm not entirely sure what happened. And then I woke up a couple minutes into Mother's Day, and wow, that one was a shit show.
It's bad.
Mother's Day is like this girl ends up pregnant and she gets kidnapped and she is kind of held under by this group of women, and I don't know where it was going with that. It
Nowhere.
never really hit anything, but then it hits, then it goes to Father's Day and things kind of turn, I think, a little bit, because
Yeah.
that short is phenomenal.
That short, Father's Day, is worth the price of admission. I think it's such a cut above
Everything else, yeah.
everything else in this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. It's like really like solid story. It kind of like focuses on this girl who lost her father years ago. I guess they said he was dead, or she believes, like, but she gets this package with this old school like box recorder and a cassette tape in it, and she's playing it, and it's her dad talking to her about how she's ready to come join him now. And it's just this like creepy ass journey. As she,
Yeah, it's so good.
like the music is good, the camera work is fantastic. Like I thought everything was shot great. Just looks really good.
And just that whole staticky tape playing the whole time as she's walking down this beach and listening to a recording that her dad made when she was a little kid the last
Right,
time
because
she
yeah,
saw him.
she's in the recording,
Yeah.
like. And she's like running through this last event that that she had with her dad, as she's kind of moving towards like possibly seeing him again.
Yeah.
And it's so like weird and creepy, and it does a good job of just being, leaving just enough open for interpretation, and thought it was really well done.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think it totally comes to make sense at the end, but it's okay for a short story format. Like, where you're
Yeah,
just like, whoa,
it's
something. So like, her dad did something really weird, and she got sucked into it. Like, it was. Dude, that one was like. I went and watched that one twice because I wanted to try to like piece it together. Okay, what really happened? I still don't think I did, but it was just so good compared to everything else in this movie.
yeah. And then Halloween comes around. Yeah,
And that's Kevin Smith.
it's Kevin Smith. It's very much a Kevin Smith short. It's I don't know. I didn't hate it. Like, I thought it was funny.
I think once we hit Father's Day, although that is by far the best, the movie kind of hits its stride a little bit with the
Yeah.
last couple.
Yeah, I think Halloween is, it's
It's
not,
ridiculous.
yeah, it's ridiculous, but it's ridiculous. Like, if you understanding who wrote it and kind of being a fan of his writing, and like I thought the dialogue is pretty good. Like his daughter can't act for shit,
No.
but she holds it together long enough for the short. I thought the guy who played the cam director guy, 'cause it's about these girls that are kind of like basically sex slaves, like in this house being forced to do cam work for this creepy Canadian dude. I don't know. Kevin Smith has this weird thing for, like, he loves Canadians now. I don't quite get it, but yeah, there's like these three cam girls, one of which is his daughter, and they get the revenge on this guy who's been kind of keeping them under lock and key.
It's like the pimp kind of, but
Yeah,
a cam pimp.
basically, yeah, like they're cam pimp.
Yeah. It's Harley Mortenstein or whatever. It's the guy from Epic Mealtime. Who I'm happy to see Kevin Smith using as an actor. I think that guy's got some talent. He used him in Tusk too in a very brief scene, I
Yeah,
think.
and I thought he was really good in, like, for what he did, for what his role
Yeah.
was. Like, he comes across pretty well. It's nothing special, but like it definitely there's like a twisted sense of humor, and the shit that goes on in that is fucked up.
He's like got a thing, I think, for like bizarre torture porn or whatever.
Yeah,
Like, but
almost.
even here, it's like Well, then show me something. Like,
he doesn't exactly. He doesn't
sanitized.
show anything. It's very, it's very PG-13. Like,
well, what they show is, but like, what's actually happening?
Yeah,
is, like,
what's happening is like almost X-rated.
Fucking insane.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, like, but how he goes about shooting it and it's very like very sanitized, very laid, like very held back.
Yeah.
From what you would expect from a normal horror film. And then there's Christmas, which Seth Green stars, and it is a kind of this weird tale about virtual reality, which I thought was it was fun.
I liked that one, and it reminded me of like a story I wrote once. I won't get into it, but and it kind of plays. It's one of the few ones that plays into like some sort of commentary about the holiday. Like, think of the Halloween one. It has nothing to do with Halloween.
Yeah, that is nothing, like, other than it takes place on Halloween.
Yeah.
And, like, the Father's Day one, like, I think works.
Yeah.
And even, I guess you could say, like, the Mother's Day one, in the fact that it kind of revolves around a woman who's pregnant. And
it's pretty tangential for a lot of them. But, like, I think for the Christmas one, it's playing into the consumerism and greed.
Oh, sure.
Like, that's kind of what it's about.
Yeah, it all starts off with, you know, Seth Green's character basically stealing this VR headset after a guy has, like, a heart attack or something outside this toy store. And he, like, has the option of, like, helping him or taking the headset. And he takes the headset and goes and gives it to his kid. And I guess it like can give you visions back of you. Like, I guess the programming is specifically for you on the headset, but it can also kind of like read your mind and replay your memories from a different perspective. And he finds out, like when he finds out about his wife is pretty off the wall. So. I thought that one was fun, and then it ends on a pretty good note with New Year's Eve, where Lorenza Izzo is kind of matched. She's like out on a online date, I guess, like a matchmaking thing, and she ends up matched with a serial killer, but she turns out to be probably just as crazy, if not more crazy. So I thought it was quite a bit of fun. Yeah, once it hits Father's Day, I think it actually becomes a watchable film.
It's decent after that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with these anthologies. Like, I love anthology horror. Like, I just
they can be so hit or miss with some of the stuff in it. So,
but it's kind of okay because you know they're all 10 minutes basically.
Yeah.
And so this one sucks. Whatever.
It just so happens that it starts off on a note of like four straight that are, you know, watchable to terrible.
Yeah, the first half of the movie. Other than like Easter, just for like that goddamn bunny, man. Oh my god, that thing is nightmare fuel. Other than that, like the full first half of the movie, I thought was like abysmal, like really bad. And then like that Father's Day one rolls in out of nowhere, and that one is just like we said, it's so much better than all of them.
It elevates the movie
on
its own. But then yeah, everything after that is fun, like. They're not all great, but
just dumb fun.
Yeah, like they're fun. Like, I mean, looking back at like the VHS movies, there's always like one
that you're gonna like.
That's
yeah.
like this is phenomenal, and then the rest are just kind of goofy fun. And that's kind of where this was. It's like, yeah, this is all right. I can get behind this. And as you said, they're short. They're you know no more than 10 minutes long. Like you're in and out real quick with the story, and it's. You can move on.
Interesting thing for me, or for the Father's Day one, I thought was, as soon as that ended, I looked up the director on that, because I'm like, I need to see more stuff by this guy. He's done nothing else.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, all these, I mean, as far as I could see on his IMDb, it was just holidays, which is weird, so like, yeah, I wanted to kind of like locate like where all these filmmakers were coming from to see if I wanted to be like check out any of their other stuff, and that was the big one. And that one, it didn't look like they had anything else. Unless I don't know, but yeah, I mean, so yeah, what your overall thought on the whole thing.
It's okay.
It goes from bad to dumb fun, and with one spectacular.
Yeah. I think if you enjoy like horror anthology stuff, you get some mileage out of this. Like it's worth watching if you're into that type of stuff. It's a little bit long, mostly because of those first four shorts, but.
That's the thing. It's kind of a lot, like a lot. You know, like look at like a Creepshow or something. Those are only like foot 4 or 5 long.
Right, like VHS too. There's only like normally like 3 or 4 shorts in there, and it spans you know just under 90 minutes. This is almost 2 hours long. It's 1 hour and 45 minutes. There's 8 shorts in there.
Yeah.
And the quality is, you know, we've said it. It's all over the place. Yeah. But mostly it's bad in the beginning, and it gets to be fun towards the end, so
rating.
I'm gonna go with a 3. I think it's worth a watch for horror fans. It's not great, but
I'm in the same boat. It's a 3 for me. I like horror anthologies, even though for the most part they're mostly bad. I like the short story format in general.
Yeah, because you could do so much with it because you don't necessarily need to have that definitive character development or a beginning and an end. Like you could pick up in the middle, and just go from there. It could just be a segment of, you know, this horrific thing going on. And often that's kind of what happens here. Like I really think that like the Halloween short is like, we got the ending like of some other story, like we got the climax of it, which it works. And like, and then the Father's Day one, it's almost kind of like you get the middle portion of a story, like where maybe we don't get a resolution because you don't need it. Like it's fine just having this snippet of something that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is like a fun, like that would be like a fantastic short story in a book or something. I really adore that one, but the rest of it, like it's just dumb fun. It's a 3, and you know, for horror fans, it's, you know, rent it or check it out when you can. Like, it's not gonna blow your mind. Except
no, I mean, I would wait maybe until it comes out and you can get it a little cheaper than $7 or whatever. But
yeah, wait till it's free on Netflix or something.
It will be.
Whatever.
Something.
You know, it's worth watching at some point. Yeah. There's definitely been worse anthologies, that's for sure. I tried watching the ABCs of Death one time, and I just couldn't get into it.
See, that's one where I've only seen the first one. I know they made 2 of those.
Yeah.
But there are, and they're really short. Like, you're talking a few minutes long, tops for most of them. And there are some in there that are great, and then there are others that are just like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, this is so bad.
Yeah.
And there's like ones that are like 30 seconds long, and it's like, this doesn't make any sense.
It's a little, maybe too short.
Yeah.
It's short. I don't, yeah, it's, like we said, we pretty much gave our opinion on it.
Worth a go.
Another brand new movie, which I randomly discovered on Netflix last night and kind of rushed Chris to watch to prep for this show, is a little movie called Hush, and I think it just like went straight to like Netflix. This is a very simple like a home invasion thriller with I think a nice little twist on it. It's a writer. She lives in. She's like moved out into the woods somewhere, living in this kind of like isolated house. And there's a guy who is, you know, messing with her and trying to kill her, like torment her, then kill her. The fun little twist on it, I think, is that she's deaf. And the movie does has a lot of fun with that premise of her not being able to hear things and the killer realizing that she can't hear things. Another thing I appreciate about this movie is it's very good craftsmanship and it's short and sweet. Like it's an hour and 20 minutes. You're in and you're out. It doesn't try to do too much. It's just doing a basic type, home invasion cat and mouse type thriller. But it has that nice little twist on it where, it's that part we have not seen before, is at least I haven't, a deaf person being stalked by somebody. And I think they did an interesting job with the villain because he's very vocal. Yeah, at first you think he's going to be kind of like Michael Myers, like wearing this
Yeah, he
mask.
has the mask on.
Quickly abandons that when he realizes how trapped he's got this girl and how much he could toy with her because she can't hear anything. I think, it's maybe slow for the first 10 minutes. The movie picks up pretty quickly after that. And I think from the moment he says, "Can you read my lips on?" and it's I thought, a really fun cat and mouse game. Also, the violence I found interesting, especially the first kill. Like, oh my God, like, this dude stabs this girl like 15 times or something. And it's really weird because he's like leaning into her and holding her up and keeps stabbing her in the torso. And she's like leaning on his shoulder as she's dying. It's almost like he's having sex with her.
Yeah, it's like very sexual.
Yeah, like
And
I okay, so I wasn't the only one who
yeah.
noticed that, because she's just kind of like leaning on him and moaning, and I found the violence to be pretty disturbing. What little there is of it in the movie, there's another kill I found that disturbing as well. I don't know, I really liked this movie. I really enjoyed it. It was kind of just like a surprise that I found after midnight last night. I just went to Netflix, looked at recently added. It had like an over 4-star rating from users. So I was like, okay, let's see what this is. It hooked me pretty quick, and I stayed up way too late and finished it. It's a nice little treat, I thought. Chris?
Yeah, totally agree with you. It's definitely a surprise treat. Kind of comes out of nowhere. It doesn't try and give you this crazy backstory on who the killer is. It just kind of throws you into it once that point. Like they definitely set up that she is, she's deaf and mute. They give enough so you know about her, but it doesn't take long before that cat and mouse game starts, and it's fun like throughout. And she's never like often in these slasher films, like the victim is always kind of like up until the end, she's always the weak one, like kind of being. Like she's strong in this. Like
She's
she's
pretty
smart.
resourceful.
Like
Yeah.
she's always trying to figure out a way to get out. Like doesn't always work because like he's stronger than her, and she is at a she does have this disability that puts her at a loss. Like
Huge disadvantage, yeah.
yeah, like she can't hear where he's coming from. She has to use her sight. Like it's dark out. But in the end, like some of that actually works to her advantage, like because she does have heightened senses, with touch and not being able to hear kind of like allows her to do things that would hurt other people.
Yes.
But
It's very clever, I thought. Like,
yeah.
they played with it. Like, they really thought of ways to use her deafness to play with the cat and mouse game.
Yeah. I did think there was one part and it was fine, I guess, but there's this part where she kind of has this conversation with herself, where she's a writer,
Her writer's voice.
yeah, her writer's voice is kind of going through all the possible endings.
I kind of dug it. You didn't like that?
It was okay. It just seemed a little like, remember, she's a writer.
It's
Remember,
contrived.
yeah, remember we did this. We did this earlier when she said she had seven endings, like, and
Yeah,
her
it's
run through
very
all the
set up.
endings.
Yeah.
It was like okay, like I mean it was cool, like where they go, basically you're fucked. Like at
Yeah.
every angle, like there's no escape here, so
When they start that, they do a nice little pulling out the rug on, because there's a part where I'm like, oh shit, this movie's gonna have a like bad ending, like I don't know if you know what I'm referring to here, Like, right, like the her first scenario plays out in her head, but you don't know.
Oh, it's yeah, scenario. you don't realize it's a scenario.
And I was like, oh shit!
Because the last thing you really see is there's not a lot of people in this movie, so like there's a second kill that Jeff said, and it's done to kind of help her out, and she's been told to run at that point, and so. It follows from that progression into this where she – it's like, oh, shit. And then we find out that it kind of reels back and it's all taking place in her head. All the possible scenarios of, you know, if she does this, what would happen? If she does this, what would happen? It's fun. It was just like, all right, that was a little much. But.
It took me for a ride, though, because I thought, like – I was like, whoa, like this movie – and I'm looking at the time left. I'm like, there's like over 20 minutes left. And I'm like – oh yeah. Well, where's it gonna go from here? Like, you know, like
exactly. Like, when that happens, and anybody watching it will know exactly what we're talking about. Because it's like, oh fuck!
This is a really daring movie. And like, can I do this?
If there's no characters left.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's not a lot of people in the movie, and you know, you end up killing off the main character. It happens to be in her head, but you kill off the main character and it's like, oh, wait, what is happening? So that twist actually works really well. And I mean, I thought the ending was mostly pretty good. Like it gets pretty grisly towards the end. There were a couple like parts where it's like, I just questioned his like the killer's like logic.
At some point he has to go, all right, time to finish this.
Yeah,
and he does, but he does it way too late.
Yeah, like, it's like way after the fact. Like she's already kind of fucked with him multiple times. Like maybe after the second one I would have been like, all right, no, it's time to go, it's go time.
I think if I'm you gotta put yourself in the mind of this killer, but he wanted to and he says it, so like it's set up, because like, dude, from the beginning, this guy could just walk in and kill her, but he doesn't. Like, he could just break through the glass windows and come in and kill her, but he tells her, I want to toy with you till you want to die, and then when it's time, I'm going to come in and kill you, which is, I found that to be really cool. Like, it's a really cool, creepy thing, and of course, it sets up the fact that we're going to sit through this for an hour and 20 minutes.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at some point when she, like, hurts him and strikes back, the first time in real life, I think the killer's gonna go, all right,
yep,
this girl might be a little more dangerous than I thought, and let's just go in and kill her. But again, it's a movie, so I just kind of accepted it.
Yeah.
But it is a little like ridiculous, like how many times he lets it go before he decides, like, okay, I really need to kill her.
Right.
I don't know. It was a fun, like I told you earlier when I told you to check it out. It's short and sweet, and
I really appreciate like the fact that it gets in, it gets out,
and yeah,
it doesn't waste your time. It's not this over, like, how many movies have we seen recently that are just way too long? Just like, you could cut 20-30 minutes from them. This, like, I don't know, you might be able to trim a little bit out of the beginning, but I don't think you have to. Like, it's
10 minutes or so of, you know, slow setup, but, you know, you get to know her. I also really appreciate that they let the killer have a personality without over-explaining him. Like, you just get it. Okay, this guy's a sadistic fuck. He gets off on this. That's it. But they let him talk, and they, like, as soon as he started talking, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a little more interesting than I thought. I thought it would just be a guy in a mask.
No, almost like a silent film at that point too, because she doesn't talk outside of when you're in her head, and so without him, like, he has to be the personality of the film. Like,
yeah and he does a good job actually for what he has to do. And like I said, the violence, I found it like disturbing, especially that first kill. Like, whatever reason, I mean, I guess it's a sexual thing, I just found it like really disturbing. It's a good movie, dude. I'm going 4 stars on it.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. I think 4 stars is the proper rating here. It's a really good slasher movie.
And between this and The Invitation, I think we're having a semi-strong start once again.
For horror, yeah.
The director is Mike Flanagan, who I've never seen anything else he's done, but I'm kind of interested now.
So I have, I didn't realize it at the time, but I saw Oculus, which is, it's okay. It's definitely more of a, this is definitely kind of more of an independent slasher type film where Oculus was, big budget.
Oh, it was, huh? I like I've seen it like on Netflix or something, but I've never heard of it, so I was just like, whatever. Was that like a theatrical release?
Oculus was theatrical release at the time. Like Karen Gillan, redhead in it. She was just coming off of Doctor Who and Katie Sackhoff, who a lot of people know from Battlestar Galactica, was also on it in the movie. And I mean, there's a lot of special effects in that film, like because it deals kind of with ghosts and that type of stuff. So,
So
but it's worth watching.
it's worth a watch. All right, I might have to check it out because I really like. I was just like, this is a guy to watch here. Like, I really liked what he did later. Like, he took something that's been done a billion times from Halloween on, and he did a really good spin on it.
And he has another movie coming out sometime this year called Before I Wake. I don't know if it's already out or if it's when it comes out, but
Also, Ouija too.
I didn't ever saw the first one, so
No, I don't know if he was involved in the first one. I don't see it here, but I don't think so. But yeah, I mean, this guy, shit, dude, I really enjoyed it. So,
Yeah, quite a bit of fun.
and if you have Netflix, it's just sitting there for you.
Yeah,
Like, and
go give it
recently,
a watch. I'm definitely gonna recommend it to some guys I know that like horror this weekend, so.
Well, I blasted it out there on Facebook and everything. Check it out. Like, I'm not as high on it as I thought The Invitation was like pretty much brilliant. And this is just, it's really good craftsmanship.
It's a really good slasher movie.
With a minimal amount of kills, but the stuff that's there here is disturbing. We're gonna switch gears big time here for our last movie of the
Yeah, we
week.
are.
That's recently released on video, Night Before, which I felt got kind of overlooked or whatever when it released in theaters. It didn't seem like anyone I knew talked about it.
Wanted to go see it, but it came out at like such a shitty time, I think.
Wasn't it right around Star Wars or something?
It was like
Probably.
Thanksgiving.
Oh.
So it was a little bit early, but it was just like a crappy time. Like there was other stuff out and
Didn't look so hot, but like, all right. Without going into the plot or anything, right off the bat, I'm going to say it's a Seth Rogen comedy. I think if you like Seth Rogen and his writing partner, was it Evan Goldberg? I think if you like their comedies, you're going to like, I think you're going to, at the very least, laugh at a lot of this, but I really enjoyed it. As odd as it is, it's a really odd comedy.
it
It's very offbeat. Like, it has no problem, like, think you called it like leisurely. It kind of like stumbles from thing to thing that
Yeah,
happens in
there,
it.
there's like, I mean, guess there's like a very thin connective tissue that ties it all together, but
It's a drug comedy, it's a party comedy, and I love that. That's like, I loved Get Him to the Greek, like those are Wolf of Wall Street. I don't think this is on the level of Wolf of Wall Street, but man, is it funny at points.
Yeah, there are points that are hysterical, and then there are points like, how did they get here? Like it's just like and then it'll just go back to, wow, that was really funny again. Like
And then it'll
just
go
weird
to
scenes.
like, whoa, that's like kind of depressing, and or like just like weird shit, like the fact that like the one character is like shooting himself up with like steroids, I'm guessing. It's like, why is that in here? Like, what does this have to do with anything? Anyways, though, it's a basic premise to set up for this party movie. It's these three friends. Ever since one of their friends, both their parents died, so he doesn't really have a family for Christmas. So every year since then, they have this tradition of going out and just getting totally wasted on Christmas Eve. Fun premise. And we are checking in on them on their last one for this because they're getting too old. The one guy's got a family. The other guy's got, he's like an NFL star. They're getting too old for this shit. So they're going to have one last big bang. And their one friend who lost his parents has found these like golden tickets that they've been looking for years to like this big, crazy Christmas Eve bash. Like, that's the plot. And it's just a bunch of fucking hijinks with these guys running around the city on Christmas Eve. And I really, really love some of the references in the movie. Like, they reference Die Hard several times.
Yes.
There's a part where they go to this one of their mom's house to play GoldenEye for a
Yeah.
couple, like an hour
They
while they're waiting for some weed.
mentioned N64 a couple times
Yeah.
and GoldenEye, or I think they go specifically to play GoldenEye, but they also mentioned Mario Kart and
Like that kind of stuff is like references, like specifically built, I think, for us or my generation or
yeah.
whatever, like I got it, and just the drug humor in it, because Seth Rogen, before they leave out on their night's adventure, his wife gives him a little, like, she's like, "Here's your Christmas present," and he opens it up, and she's like, he's like, "What is this?" And she's like, "It's every drug known to man."
And he goes about trying all of them
He's
over the
got,
course of the
coke,
night.
molly, shrooms, and through most of the movie he's really high on shrooms and coke. And he does a good job of playing it, and it lends to some of the funniest shit in this movie. There's a dinner scene that was, I was just dying, where he's got the wrong phone and he's getting texted by some guy sending him dick pics, and he's tripping on shrooms at this point, so he's like, "That is a nice dick." Like, fucking. And there is a church scene that I like rewound the movie after I was done to watch the church scene, because I just he like wanders onto a nativity scene, and
Yes,
he's
the
sitting there
nativity scene is great. He's like talking to
he's talking to Jesus,
the
calling him Spencer,
statue.
and he's sitting there. And then he sees his wife, who obviously didn't go out with his for buddies. Like, she's going to the church where he's randomly stumbled
Well,
upon.
one, he's Jewish, so like he wouldn't normally
Yeah,
go to the church
he wouldn't go
anyway.
there anyway. Yeah.
He just ends up happens to be outside the church where his wife is going to midnight mass with her family.
And it's just such a fun scene, because he's so like tripping on shrooms at this point and desperate for some sort of human connection. And doesn't, his brain's not there. He doesn't know what's going on. So when he sees his wife, he just kind of clings onto her, and she's like, "Dude, get the fuck out of here." And he's like,
Go away.
"No, I want to go with you guys." And he ends up going to church with her and her family while he's just completely high on drugs. And yeah, that was just such a fun scene. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I it's it, it the movie is very odd, though. Like, it's just kind of. It goes. It's okay with not being funny for stretches, but then all of a sudden it's hilarious. So,
Yeah, there are points that are really, really great, and there are like some really weird points, like the Miley Cyrus stuff, just like really strange, but she plays it really well. Like there's a really great line where she's like, to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, he's like, he keeps calling her Miley Cyrus, like her full name. So you got to stop calling me that. It's like, what do I call you? She's like Hannah.
yeah, and
It's like I almost lost it at that point.
I kind of adore Miley Cyrus, so her cameo in that movie I really love. There's another fantastic cameo. I don't want to ruin it, but I think you know what I'm talking about. I don't even want to say any more of it. Do you know what I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
It's a
Maybe.
good payoff to the whole dick pic thing.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic cameo, I thought. I don't know, dude. Like, the movie, despite any of its faults, I fucking kind of loved it.
Yeah,
Like,
it's fun. Like, I mean, there's definitely those stretches of like, what the fuck is going on here? But then there's like stretches of, what the fuck is going on here? This is great.
there's parts where it really works, and I think if you don't like drug comedies, you're not gonna like it at all. If you don't like Seth Rogen comedies, but if you love Seth Rogen and you love drug comedies, I think it's one of his better ones in a while, honestly. Like,
yeah, he's really good in this. And Anthony Mackie and Joseph Gordon-Levitt also really good. It's really funny.
it's just goofy. Like, I had a fun time with it. Like, it's one, like, if it was playing again on like TV, I would watch it
Yeah,
for sure.
it's one of those. If it's on, I'll watch it because there's enough funny bits that
Yeah.
it works.
It's just so goofy and you kind of giggle at it. Like, I'm going 4 stars on it and I'm not ashamed. I don't care.
I think I'm gonna go 3, but
Yeah.
definitely with that same kind of recommendation.
Yeah.
If it's on, you should watch it because it's pretty funny.
Wrapping it up here. Well, first off, what'd you think of Game of Thrones?
It was Game of Thrones.
I dug it. I heard some people talking shit about it. I was
Yeah,
like,
I
and I
mean,
was really down on last season. I thought as a singular episode, especially as a season premiere, usually season premieres are really slow, like they're kind of reintroducing stuff. Like here, it was just like continuing right off of shit that happened in
which is
the
good because they left us hanging a lot at the end of that last season. So while we don't get a lot of answers,
A lot of stuff happened. It
yeah,
covers a lot of ground, and
the
that's cool.
storylines continued, and
I saw people trashing the Dorne stuff too, and I thought the Dorne stuff was cool.
I think the Dorne storyline for this show has been terrible. So I
Yeah.
actually was like, hey, this works. Like it was nice and shocking and
Yeah, they're
brutal.
doing something. Yeah, I think it was one of the more memorable parts of
Better than, oh, we're just more Dorne. Like,
that.
great. All right.
Yeah. I just saw someone, I forgot who I saw say like that, like it came out of nowhere or whatever, and I was like, not really, dude. Like
That's been
it's
building
been
up.
building up. Yeah, like I was not surprised at all when she
Like
did what she
all
did.
the boring Dorne shit from last season built up to this. Like
Yeah, it
it may
works.
have come as a surprise, but
Yeah.
it was definitely leading to something of this happening, so.
The only disappointment for me really is Daenerys' story like continues to it's like one step forward, 10 steps back, and
It's just stagnated, like.
yeah, I just
And I almost wonder if it's like,
it's holding pattern
right,
telling me right now.
because you need to wrap up everything else that's going on in Westeros before you can bring her over.
Once she arrives, I mean, like
Shit's gonna go off
we're in the
and
final confrontations here,
yeah,
right? Yeah, so
it's gonna start wrapping up. So it's like, if you have all this other stuff that needs to be wrapped up, you can't bring her over yet. But it's almost like then just leave her there, let her rule Meereen or whatever, and don't worry about her. We don't need to see what's going on until it's necessary.
yeah.
Well,
Overall, though,
it's the same because Tyrion's over there too, so.
I wish his stuff like the problem for me with Game of Thrones is the best thing in the whole thing was the trial of Tyrion, and nothing is I don't think ever gonna reach that point again. Like it's just kind of unraveled a little bit, but I don't know. It was to me, it was an improvement over season 5 already, so I can't complain really.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought the Melisandre stuff at the end was
Loved it.
really
I thought.
cool, and
And that she was like, I kept telling like my coworkers and stuff, like, oh man, she's the hottest girl on that show, I think. And so I got a lot of shit on Monday after that episode.
bet.
Yeah.
But it
She's still the
fit.
hottest.
Yeah.
Huh?
When she is, in her regular self, she's
I find her
definitely
sexy,
awesome.
man. Sexy as hell. And I don't care what she looks like with her necklace off. I don't care.
And I'm interested to see where they go with the stuff with the Night's Watch and the Sansa Stark and Theon Greyjoy stuff is
Yeah.
actually starting to be interesting.
Arya, I don't know what the hell to think of anymore. I'm kind of really bored of that whole story, but we'll see.
Yeah, like because it's stopped being about revenge and now for her to actually, become one of those, the
It's like
faceless.
I get it. I get it. But she's been in training since season 1 with the sword
Right.
fight and everything. And it's just like, let her go out and be badass finally. Enough of this. I'm bored of this. But...
Or don't, like, just cut her out like you did Bran until we need her. Like, I think that's the big, I get, that's one of the biggest problems, I guess, with the show is that they're afraid that they feel they always need to show us what's going on with them at least once. It's like, we don't need the mundane shit. So, like, the boring crap with Daenerys, the boring crap with Arya, like, we don't need it.
There's enough characters and stories in it that, yeah, you could just kind of have the exciting stuff of all of it.
Stuff that's plenty interesting.
Yeah.
Like, did we really need to see Marjorie in prison? Like, was that just there to kind of remind us that that happened?
Yes.
Like, exactly. Nobody cares because, like, that storyline isn't going anywhere right now. So, I don't know. I'm happy it's back, though.
It's fun. Definitely one of the best shows on TV. Next week we're going to do our summer movie preview, and by the time it releases, I think the summer movie season will be kicked off
we're gonna record probably right before a Civil War comes out, so we'll be recording right before the summer movie season hits, but be right around there where kind of kicks off.
Yeah, close enough. And for me, the only movies that I'm gonna, and you know, we might cover them before we do our movie preview stuff, is I'm gonna see Sisters.
I want to see Sisters as well. I like both of them. So
yeah, I love them. So even if it's bad or whatever, I'm sure. Whatever. I like Tina Fey and I like Amy Poehler a lot. So, and I still have Everest sitting here, which. Don't have a real desire to see, but I have here, so I'll probably see it. But I think it will be a little bit lighter next week in terms of new movies to review, unless like something crazy pops up like Hush did again. But yeah, we're gonna be like looking at what we're looking forward to this summer, and maybe what we're not looking forward to as well.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be hitting some of that up. So,
yeah, buddy.
All right, I guess we'll be back next week then.
Yep.
Movie dudes.
Do 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 do.